Amen. Thank you, Brother Johnson. Thank you, Church. Thank you, Brother Frank. If you will turn your Bible to John chapter 15, that's going to be our first scripture tonight. We are studying a topic called God's grace versus man's free will. And we're talking about free will in this first point. We've spent several weeks on this already. I think this is ninth. I think I put in the sermon number 9 tonight. And we're in our first point talking about the freedom of man's will. Amen. When we study the Word of God, we must look at the Word of God in an interest to learn what is actually there. So many people today, they study the Bible to let it feed them and what they believe and what they think, instead of them allowing the Bible to feed them what it actually says. The main thing in every Christian's heart ought to be to learn as much about God as they can. And when we learn about God, we learn more about Him and less about ourselves. We learn how valuable God is and how little value we are. We learn what God can do for us, and we also learn how much we can't do for ourselves. And the more we learn about God, the more we understand God's sovereignty and God's ordained will, and how God does things, and how He accomplishes things, and how He builds things, and how He makes everything function. We'll never learn everything about God. We can't contain in our minds even in the greatest minds in all the earth that's ever lived, cannot contain the knowledge and understanding of God. He's just too big, too powerful, too mighty for us to comprehend. So we learn as much as we can. We believe as much as we can. And the more that we understand about Him, the more faith we have in Him. The more we trust Him to get things done and not ourselves. Because we find ourselves understanding then in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. None. When we talk about man's will, we talk really about something that's really non-existent, basically. We talk about God's will, we talk about what accomplishes everything. Everything is in God's will and not ours. We live, we move, we have our being in God, in Christ. It's everything is in Him. Tomorrow when we wake up, the day depends upon God. Whatever God has foreordained, whatever He's predetermined, whatever He's ordained for us tomorrow, that's what our day will be. I often say that, and we've learned in 1 Corinthians 12 that the spiritual gifts are given by God. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit. He brings His gifts to us. And everything we are in life as a Christian is a gift from God. Amen. Every day we're at church, every day we study, every day we pray, every day we sing is a gift from God. You're here tonight because God put you here. So we got down to our first point under the subject of man's free will. First point was this: people must understand that our free will only condemns us. And if you want to look at free will, that's what does condemn us. We're born at enmity with God. All humans are. All people are born at enmity with God. They're born enemies of God. So we got down to our fourth sub-point, and that is, at what point does a person have a choice to do good, and what will cause them to choose Christ or do good at all? What causes a person's heart and a person's mind to function enough to choose Christ? God. God causes us. It's really not a choice of ours. We think of it humanly as a choice, but it's really not a choice. It's God's choice. God chose us to be His before the foundation of the world. Amen. We didn't choose Christ. Christ chose us. Well, God, Father chose us and gave us to Christ, and we belong to Christ. Notice what Jesus says here in John 15, verse 16. He says this twice. He doesn't say it once. He says it twice. He says in verse 16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And not only have I chosen you, I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whosoever you shall ask, and whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, He will give it to you." Notice here that Jesus says, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And not only have I chosen you to be saved, but I've also chosen you and the fruit that you're going to go for and gather in your life." In other words, every accomplishment you have made in your life as a Christian has been by the choice of Christ, not by your choice. I didn't choose to be a Christian. I didn't choose to be a Baptist. I didn't choose to be a member of this church. I didn't choose to be your pastor. All of those steps, from the first time I was born and before, God chose my path in life. God chooses where we're going to go. He chooses where we're going to, what we're going to accomplish in life. If you go back and read, I'm not going to go back and read, I've read it a lot here, and that's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. The Lord will tell us that He ordained us to do things in Christ Jesus. But Jesus told us here that we have not chosen Him, but He's chosen us. So whose choice was it? It was Christ, wasn't it? It's God. Now go to Romans 9, if you will. Brother Best, who I've been studying a lot on this, W.E. Best, said something brilliant. He always said something brilliant because he was a brilliant man. Brother Bell said, "No law restrains God's will because He is its own law." Now, if you think about that, put that in your mind and let it ponder there. God is the law, right? He made the laws, right? I mean, all the laws in the Bible and every commandment, everything comes from God, right? No law restrains God's will because every law is made by God's will. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make errors. So therefore, when God created laws, the laws for us, all of them were by God's will. And all of them are executed by God's will. So therefore, God's not restrained by any law. In other words, it's not unjust for God to save Ronnie and not save somebody else. It's not wrong for God to make me the pastor of this church and not someone else. See, God's not held under our moral standards. God's not restricted by our laws and our thinking and our ways of life. We're sinners saved by God's grace. Therefore, God knows everything. There's nothing God doesn't know. He's omniscient. And therefore, whatever God chooses to do, he can do it. Because God's not going to violate his own laws. He's not violating our laws because God doesn't abide under our laws. So if God chooses to save one person, not another, that's God's choice. If God chooses to put one person in a church and not another, that's God's choice. Instead of worrying about what election, whether or not it's true or not, if I wasn't saved today, I'd be worried about whether or not God's going to save me. Because if God doesn't save us, we're never going to be saved, right? If I'm one of the Lord's church members tonight and I'm not in church, I would greatly concern myself because it's God who sets us in the church. It's God that causes us to be here tonight. It's God that causes us to be here every time we come. You're here by God's will. If God didn't cause us to do things, we wouldn't do them. We still have that human nature about us. So Brother Bess was brilliant when he said, no law restricts God or restrains God's will. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 9. Starting at verse 18, we'll read down through verse 21. It says, therefore, whom he hath, speaking of God, God is he, therefore, whom God hath mercy on, whom he will have mercy on, and whom he, God, will he hardeneth. God's going to have mercy on whom he chooses and not have mercy on whom he didn't choose. God had a set of twin brothers, a great example. God loved one and hated the other. Was God right in hating the other? Yes, he was. Because God doesn't have to love anybody. But God, by his grace, chose to love a remnant of people in this world. God doesn't owe it to anybody to save them. God doesn't owe it to anybody to love them. God doesn't owe it to anybody to do anything for anybody. Now, let's look at this fact. We want to look at will. We want to look at human will. You know, a lot of people criticize Adam because he sinned. But let me ask you this. Did Adam sin? Or did God, before the world was created, ordain for Adam to sin? God ordained before the world began for Adam to sin. See, God didn't look into the future and see Adam sin. God ordained it. Now let's move over to Pharaoh. Pharaoh wasn't an evil man by his own choice. Pharaoh was an evil man by his nature. God ordained Pharaoh to be the evil man he was. God himself says he created evil for his own glory. God didn't have to create Satan. God didn't look up one day and look out at his angels and he didn't say, oh my, there's Lucifer. Oh, he's sinning. God created the angel Lucifer to sin. He created him and ordained him to be Satan. Just like he ordained and created Adam to be the first sinner, so that he could send his son to this world to give life to a remnant. A remnant that he elected. He chose. So really wasn't Adam's choice. Everybody says, well, Adam chose. Adam didn't really choose. Adam did what God ordained him to do, to eat the forbidden fruit. Just like the folks that crucified Jesus. Did they choose to crucify Jesus? No. God ordained them to crucify Jesus. Jesus said, I come not to do my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. The Son of Man came to this world, born of a woman, to obey his Father's command. Jesus knew his fate. He knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to die at the hands of sinners. And he knew exactly who them people were going to be. They didn't shock God. If you read the Bible, you'll find out that God ordained them to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. You may say, well, they still did it willingly. They did it willingly because God ordained them to do it. Think about it. In Romans chapter 9, verse 18, we just said that if God chooses to have mercy on someone, he can have it. He's not under any obligation, is he? Amen. And if God chooses to harden someone, he can do it, can't he? He's under no obligation to explain anything. That was his choice. I'm sorry, but no, I'm not really sorry. I just say that to be polite. But really, who is God to owe us anything? Who is God to owe us an explanation for anything? People forget sometimes who they are and who God is. You take all the masterminds. I'm talking about the great Spurgeons and Gills and Jeremy Fawcett Browns and Arthur Pinks and all the great historians back into history. And you put all their minds together, they're nothing. They're like a drop of sand in the bottom of the sea. And that may be giving them too much credit compared to God. Verse 19, he says, that was saying to me, why does he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? But now, O man, who art thou that repellest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? They do it all the time, don't they? Don't they? Don't people do it all the time? Why, Lord, have you allowed this to happen? Why, Lord, do you allow me to go through this? Why, Lord, have you not saved my brother? Why, Lord, have you not saved my wife? Why, Lord, when all they have to do is think about God and he doesn't want to do certain things for us? God's under no obligation to even hear our prayers. The very fact that God will listen to us in our prayers is a sign of grace. Amen. Pure grace. You go through history and you just give some thought to what's happened in history. And you say, why is the Lord allowing me to go through this? You know, he allowed his own people to die. Did you know that God allowed his own son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified by the very hands that he created? By the very evil that he kicked out of heaven? Why shall we say, or who that we are we, to say, God, why hast thou formed me thus? Lord, why have you allowed me to grow old? Because God tells us in his word we're going to grow old, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. God, why have you allowed me to be sick? Because God told us in his word we will be sick, didn't he? Why, God, did you allow my brother or my mother or my dad or my husband or my wife to die? Because God told us we're appointed unto death. God has not promised us anything that he has not given to us. Sometimes people look at God like he owes them something. Beloved, any time a person says God owes them something, they have just failed the test of reality. Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Listen, verse 21 is a champion scripture here. Had not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Does God not have that right? I mean, do we live in a time or era where God owes us something special more than he did those that lived 5,000 years ago? Or those that lived 2,000 years ago? Or those that lived 1,000 years ago? Almost every one of Jesus' apostles died a very harsh death. People want to look at something like Alzheimer's or dementia like it's something dirty, like it's something awful. Could be a blessing to those that's going to die. You think about this. Why, if you wake up in the morning and you go to the doctor and he tells you you got cancer, you got 3 weeks to live. All of a sudden reality breaks out, doesn't it? But see, that's God's will for you. Whatever goes on in our life is God's will for us. Rebecca and I are married today because that was God's will. You're living the life you're living today because that's God's will for you. You are in your state of life because that's where God has willed for you. We have no right to look at God and say, why hast thou created me thus? Instead of worrying about what you're going to do when you die, you just sit down and thank God that you're a Christian. Because whatever you are in your life, it's what God has created for you. He took that lump of clay and he made your life what it is to get you to the point you're at right now. A lot goes on in life, doesn't it? A lot of things happen in life, don't they? But always remember this one thing. Everything is in God's hands. And everything that happens in our life is by the ordained, predetermined will of God. not our will. Nothing in my life is my will. I live, I move, I have my being in Him and Him alone. Let's go to our third point here and our first point. Does God ever change? We talk about God's will. We talk about what God does for us in our life and what happens in this world being God's will. Does God ever change? Absolute freedom of will can only belong to God. No one else has absolute freedom of will. God's will is always done as God chooses. Second, God is eternal. Every part of God's being is eternal. Everything in God's ordained plan, His ordained will, is eternal. Therefore, God cannot change in any area. Why not? Because God is eternal. God is omni-everything. He is omni-holy. That means all holy. He is omnipresent. That means all present. He is omniscience. Means He contains all knowledge. If God is everything that the Bible says He is, then why would God have an occasion to change? We're going to do something that God didn't know about? Is the world going to take a turn? Listen to me. Is the world going to take a turn? Listen to me. Is the world going to take a turn that God didn't know about? Is there anybody that really thinks that God didn't know that Joe Biden was going to be our president? I'll tell you on another little secret. He already knows who's going to be president in 2024 too. You don't know when Jesus is coming? Oh, you hear about it all the time on Facebook, don't you? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is going to come when the Father looks at the Son and says, go get my children. Only God the Father knows when that time will be. But He knows, doesn't He? I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. People have went crazy trying to figure it out in the Bible with all the codes. Remember a few years back when we had all these Bible codes? People were buying books. My niece tried to get me to buy a book that showed all these Bible codes. I don't care about codes. You know what I care about? I care about what God says. If people get away from these codes and all this daydreaming, and start looking at what God says, they would learn a whole lot more. We change. We change every day. We have changed probably 5 times coming to church. Depends on how long a drive you have. But God never changes because He's eternal. If God was to change, it would show an imperfection and God as an omni, everything, and all that the word itself means. God lacks nothing. He has all intelligence. He's told us so much in that Bible. if the Jews had listened to God, they would have known when Jesus was born. But they didn't, did they? They weren't looking for the Messiah, were they? So what did they do? They crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. God ordained it, and they did it. If a lot of people would just look to the Word of God, they would find out a whole lot of things. Because God tells about prophecy in His Word. You know, there's prophecy in His Word for us today. We're not going to figure out when Jesus is coming. He may come today. He may come 5 years from now. He may come 105 years from now. He may come in 2 millenniums. Well, the sign of the time, just look at it. Things change, don't they? The world changes, doesn't it? God can revert everything right back to where He wants it to be. I mean, there was a time when Christians were being slaughtered by other people calling themselves Christians. Right? Millions of them. Churches, villages of Christians that were slaughtered for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the church and the Word of God because they wouldn't change. Here we are, we're worshiping freely, aren't we? Who knows? Old Grandpappy Joe, God may save the guy. He may pull up to the podium next tomorrow and he might say, you know what, God has saved me, I'm going to change. I know you're laughing, I laugh too, but you know what? Never doubt God. If He can save a man like Saul of Tarsus, He can save anybody. And He did. And He has. God's eternal. Every part of His being is eternal. Every part of His thinking is eternal. You know why? Because God doesn't think. God's never thought. You say, well, He had to think. No, He didn't. See, we think. So we think that God has to think. We live and die. So we think God has to live and die. We make decisions. We change in life. So we picture God as this person that we are, but He's not. God's not a person. God is an eternal being who has created all things according to His own will, whom will do as He chooses with His own creation. Whether He makes a vessel unto honor or a vessel unto dishonor, that was what God wanted done. That's what He did. See, God didn't actually, we call it election, the Bible calls it election. We have to have something to make us understand what God had done. But I guarantee you there's not a time when God sat down and chose a remnant out of this world. God already knew the remnant for all eternity. He's always known. So if God was to change in one iota, it would make Him imperfection. He has a flaw. He didn't know something. Or maybe he told a lie. Maybe He had to correct it. Or didn't know that this was going to happen. He had to correct it. See what I'm saying? God doesn't do that. Isn't it something? We can't really even comprehend that. God is so much that we can't even comprehend what he is. Can you comprehend what eternal means? No, we can't. We've never been there, have we? We laid some linoleum over at the house in the laundry room. We're going to do the kitchen next. And Rebecca and I got that linoleum out, and we started putting it together, and we like killed ourselves, and I thought she was going to get a knife and cut my throat before we were through arguing over it. It looked terrible. It just looked awful. So I called Nathan. I said, can you come over and lay this down? Yeah, Papa, I'll be right over. I'll be over there. Yeah, I'll come on over and help you. He got down, took up what we had, got down and just put it together like a puzzle. Snap, 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 snap. Crazy, wouldn't it? I'm at my fourth point. I don't want to get into it, but I'm going to start it so you'll know what we're getting into next week. So I talked about God's eternal. He's being eternal, not able. He's not even able to change. Change is not in his vocabulary as far as himself. But God's will is always done. Our wills are not. See, God doesn't just control Christians. God controls everybody. God controls everything. People talking about global warming, climate change, they can call it anything they want to. But see, God controls the universe, doesn't he? We don't. We don't have the ability to change the heat of the world. We don't have the ability to do these things. You say, well, it's getting hotter. Yeah, and one day it's going to get real hot down here, isn't it? One day God's going to burn this earth with the fervent heat. The only reason we survive is because of God's power and God's will. God controls the universe to give us air to breathe, food to eat. He controls the sun and the moon and the stars to give us light, to give us heat, to give us coolness, so that we don't freeze to death. So that we don't burn up. God controls all of that. That big old gigantic universe out there, God controls it. He controls this earth that spins on nothing. He controls everything that happens in it. He controls every person in it. Even the evil. He doesn't just create evil for his own glory. He makes it bring glory to him. You read Romans 13, you find out that God sets up the kings in this world. God sets up the rulers in this world. And God takes them down as he chooses. Satan waits on God to find out what Satan can do. Satan's not a competition to God. Satan wanted to be a competition to God. Satan's not a competition to God. You notice he wound up in hell, didn't you? Satan did, didn't he? No one's a competition to God. No one can disobey God if God chooses them not to. If God had not ordained for Adam to have sinned, he never would have sinned. He didn't know sin. He didn't know what sin was. He just knew he wasn't to disobey God. That's the only thing Adam knew. And he didn't disobey God, did he? Until God took his hand off the grace of Adam, and Adam eats of the forbidden fruit. Exactly when God wanted him to. All of this to bring glory to the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. It's glory to him. We're his glory. We're his church. We're the ones sitting on a hill in a dark world, should be shining bright. As Christians, we should go into the world, and that bright light should be seen. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians today is not seen. You know, there's Christians who could have been in church tonight that wasn't there. See, just because we live and move and have our being by God's will and God's grace and God's mercy doesn't mean we're not responsible for our actions. Just because Jesus asked the Father to forgive them for they don't know what they do doesn't mean they're not going to be held responsible for crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. See, everything has its punishment in life because God holds us responsible. When you think about it, it's actually a lot more deeper than we can even ever understand. We just understand that we can understand. And what we do know is a lot of people in this world hate God for who he is. They hate him for being the sovereign God that he is. Them people will pay account to God one day for that. They will. A lot of people's going to pay account to God for a lot of things. Let's all stand.